Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. Tonight we are here to do hashtag smack my picks up for UFC Fight Night 149, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know, doesn't seem like there's a lot of meat on the bone on this one for me. So just to let you guys know at the top of the show, we're probably going to do the co-main, the main event, the co-main event, and the spotlight fight of the night. Maybe, I'm not too sure if everybody feels confident about doing all of that tonight, but we're also going to go ahead and Marco do a little bit of AMP Radio Rewind. I think there's a lot of information or a lot of meat on the bone, shall we say, from last weekend that we could get into in the Rewind. And then, of course, Tony is going to give us a little up-down report. And then if we have time, guys, in the hour we have allotted for this show, we might do a little news and notes because there was a lot of news that came out of this show last week, you know, with Dana White speaking to the media. So there's Lord Dana speaking to the media. So there's a lot to get to. But let's go ahead and drop this one now. UFC Fight Night, Overeem versus Olenek. As I mentioned originally, will be UFC Fight Night 149. As I said previously, guys, I will not be doing these ESPN numbers. It just seems like a stupid thing for me to do. Will be held on April 20th. Hey, smoke them if you got them. 2019 at, somebody help me with this one, Yablibny Sports Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia. It's a tongue tie. I'm tired. It's a mouthful.
About right.
Sounds about right. Oh, thank you, Marco. I appreciate that. Marco gives me the thumbs up. I appreciate that. All right. So as you guys have heard, we have not the original cast of characters on this show. We're down one member of the show. Pammy had to work late this evening. She will not be on the show, unfortunately. But let's go ahead and get into this. Go ahead, DJ Tony, and cue the music for yourself. Coming on us live and direct, deep from the mean streets of Northern California, it's Tony time.
Let's do it.
Hey, DJ!
Tony!
Proteus, it's great to be here with Marco, minus the beautiful Pam, who will be missed. And unfortunately, we will not be able to get the casual Paul's casual picks tonight. So that's a bummer.
I always see Paul putting out his casual picks. Anyways, Tony, good to hear your voice. Good to have you back on this train wreck of a show so far, but that's okay. You're going to work it out. Anyways, let's go ahead and complete the cast of characters for this evening. Let's bring him in, the star of the show. Deep from the heart of Texas, it's Marco from Waco, brother.
Bobby Knuckle!
Without no SP, can't you know me? Without no SP. I blew my
own. He's doing his own music.
Oh, yeah.
On fire.
The tech, we need to call the kicker squad to take care of these technical difficulties, man. Because, like I said, I have a horrible weekend of pick. I went 0-3 again. But yep. I'm not
sure
smart about it. Oddly enough, I'm like, oh my God. I'm glad that I was wrong. And Game of Thrones happened this weekend, so and I'm still happy. Something's happened this weekend. I mean, we got Lomachenko knocking fools out, NBA and NHL playoffs, UFC 233, that was 236, that was epic. We got Tiger Woods winning the freaking Masters, and then Game of Thrones, dude. What a good weekend. I cannot complain.
Let's talk some MMA.
All right, so to the heavyweight division we go. Alistair Overeem. Now, this is going to be a good fight, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. The Demolition Man, Alistair Overeem versus Alexei Olenek. They call him the Boa Constrictor. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, in Olenek's backyard. Let me go ahead and give you the odds on this one, Marco, before you get into this. Olenek is at a plus 215. Alistair Overeem at a minus 255, so slight favorite for Alistair Overeem on this one. Marco, what you got?
Let's start by saying, you know, we call the Van Fluk now the Sam Prue Show. This is your show, because he has done it so many times. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he'll be mounted by some people, and he'll choke him out while being mounted. The guy, don't get on the ground with him. Put online. If you get to anywhere near the ground, get up. Or try to get up. Don't get on the ground with this dude. Anything dictates that Overeem should smoke the Israelis to keep it on the feet. I mean, Overeem is no freaking scrouch on the ground either, but why even try? Kick the shit out of this guy on the gut, kick his leg, overhand right, knock him out, game over. I'm picking Overeem. I'm picking Overeem by knockout. Olenek is dangerous on the ground, but his stand-up is serviceable at best. Horrible on reality. He's too slow on his feet. He's too robotic. You can see his punches coming a mile away. All he wants to do is get a hold of you and drag you to the ground where he will choke you out. That is a guarantee. If he gets you to the ground, Olenek will choke you out. So I think Overeem. Overeem is a smart fighter. I'm going to knock him out. I think he's going to knock out this guy early on the second round. So give me Overeem by knockout, second round.
Okay, so KO in the second for Overeem from Marco. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you because, you know, Marco's throwing some shade here on Olenek. And as we said, I mean, you know, as Marco said, he has pulled off that choke from the bottom. I can't remember what it's called right now off the top of my head. Thank you very much, Marco. Thank you very much, Marco. I was listening to Joe Rogan break it down the other day on The Experience, and he was saying it's just incredible how he can get it from the bottom. DJ Tony, it's like he lets guys get into a safe position and then he chokes them out from the bottom. And Marco brings up a good point. Like, Overeem is a very talented striker, of course. He's not the Uberim anymore. You know, he did win plenty of titles in other divisions corporations. And
Organizations.
Thank you, Marco. See, Marco is my translator. It's very good, Marco. Thank you very much. And maybe it was because, Marco, he was Uberim. Maybe it was because he was telling, you know, high school or elementary school students that he wasn't on the steroids when he was. But he's not that guy anymore. And it's been a challenge for him in this division. Been a challenge for him in this division, so I'm going to throw directly to you, DJ Tony. What do you have in the main event of UFC 149? Of course, again, I believe this is the first show from Russia, so exciting times.
Second show, he's right. Second show from Russia. Here's the thing,
they were both in St. Petersburg, right?
No, the first was in Moscow.
Thank you, Marco. Sorry, DJ Tony. Go ahead.
So, Alexei Olenek, guys, he has almost 70 fights, a total of 69 fights to be exact, recorded, right? 69 fights where Alistair Overeem, is it? 61? 60, 60. Oh, 69. 60.
That's a good number.
Hold on, hit the rim shot there. Where Alistair Overeem has 61 fights. That's a lot of damn fights between them, guys. Here's the thing, and I agree with Marco almost all the time, as you guys know, but conventional wisdom would tell you, okay, you know, Alistair Overeem, the Ream, let's just say he's not tested for EPO over there because, oh, by the way, it costs $600 to $800 more. Forgive me, $500 to $800 more when they're paying them, what, $20 million? Really? God forbid those $600 to $800 per fire. Good Lord. So if we believe that garbage, again, like I always say, I have a Golden Gate Bridge that's painted in brick colored that I'd like to sell you. But you know what, guys? Let's look at Alexei Olenek's last fight. And I agree with you guys completely, Marco. He submitted Mark Hunt, heavy hitter. He, a kickboxer.
Mike Hunt?
What is Did I say Mike? I thought I said Mark. No
you
offense
did.
To
I was
Mike.
Say Mike, though.
Yeah, no relation to the great Mike Hunt. You guys get it. He did beat Diaper Baby Junior Albini via Ezekiel choke, like Marco keeps saying. He lost to Curtis Blaydes via TKO, doctor stoppage. That was a cut. Beat Travis Brown, who's a kickboxer, lengthy, just like Overeem. Guys, the last time Olenek went to decision was almost 3 years ago, July 13, 2016, with Daniel Oleum Numchek. And you know who taught me how to say that word? Marco. But I don't think that's going to happen, guys. I don't think this is going to go to decision because this guy's a submission artist. I don't know how the heck he does it. But I think he's going to somehow outsmart the ream, submit him. Yeah. Let's just say early third around submission. This is going five. You know what? I take that back. Alistair Overeem, TKO in the fourth. I forgot it was going five.
Wait a second. Those are two totally different things.
I just can't see them five rounds. Can you see them going five? I can't see that. Help me out here.
Third round submission. I mean, all of Nick's third round submission sounded good to me, even in a five round fight.
All right, let's stick with that. You know what? Like Marco said, my picks are garbage this week anyway. We'll stick with Alexi Olenek. Oh, never mind. What did I say now? Marco, give me a lifeline here.
I'm not helping you. You put yourself on the fence and you haven't jumped to either side. Make a pick.
All right, Alistair Overeem, fourth round TKO via Pam's picks. I don't know.
All right. I love how you tied that back into a previous show. All right, TKO. All right, Overeem, DJ Tony taking Overeem, fourth round TKO. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to my picks here. I think, Marco, you bring up good points. I think that Overeem, you know, is probably the more talented fighter. Tony, you bring up a good point as well that Olenek has been in a number of fights. So, you know, both these guys, very, very talented. This is the kind of show that you want to bring to, you know, maybe St. Petersburg is an off market. It's not Moscow, but it's still a big city. And this is the kind of fight you want to bring to them. Big heavyweight fight. And the co-main event, I'm sure, appeals to them as well, but we'll get to that in a minute. Overeem versus Olenek. I mean, I've been thinking about this one for a while because both what you both said had occurred to me as well. But I think if this stays on the feet, that Olenek is going to be able to get to Overeem. Yeah, I think it's going to be, Tony, as you said, kind of a long, drawn-out affair, if that's what is going to happen. Because as we've seen from Overeem in the past, or in his recent past, if he starts to get tagged, he starts to run a bit. He starts to turn his back and get away from that pressure. And I just think Olenek, especially fighting in his home country, is going to apply that pressure. I'm going to go ahead and be the only one that takes Olenek on this one. I think I know that Overeem is probably the more talented kickboxer, but I think this one, I want to say it goes to the ground, guys. I really do, but they're both so talented on the ground. I don't think it's going to go there. I think that Olenek is going to be able to nullify Overeem. I'm going to go ahead and go Olenek decision on this one, guys, for me. All right? I know it's a hard hard fight to pick.
I know this fight is on 420, but you are starting early, are you? Hey. Let's agree on this real quick, that the original Volko versus Overeem fight was way more exciting than this one. Let's just agree on that.
Oh, for sure.
Because I was all out for the Volko fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, things happen, and this is what we're left with, unfortunately. I think this is still going to draw. I think that people are going to still go to see the fight in Russia. And I want to get to this ESPN Plus stuff with you guys later on. Hopefully we have time for that. But let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event real quickly. DJ Tony, cue that music. All right, so we have Islam Makhachev versus the Shadow character. You know, I'm just going to call him the Shadow character because that's what he has here on the UFC fight card. And I can't pronounce his last name. I do apologize. I don't know how to do that. So, DJ Tony, let's start with you in the lightweight division. Islam Makhachev versus the Shadow character. What do you got going on here, DJ Tony? Because I tried to research this gentleman, and there's a lot of undercard promotions, maybe Russian promotions that he's been fighting in, and of course 13-1 he's coming out of. But he's making his UFC debut. So what do you think going on here, DJ Tony? What you got?
Arman Sakharyan from Khabarovsk, Russia, nailed it.
Yep.
22 years young. 5'9", 155, 13-1, 5 TKO wins, guys, 5 submissions, 3 decisions, very, very even. But he's going up against the beast, Proteus, in Islam Makhachev, who, be honest, this guy has beat Cajun Johnson, beat Gleison Tibel, beat Nick Lentz, who's no joke. I think this is a fight made for Islam Makhachev to win, and I think he's going to win. But you know what? I think they're going to play it safe because no one wants to lose at home, so to speak. So I think it's going to go be a decision. So I'm
thinking
Islam Makhachev, be a decision.
Okay. Sorry, it takes me a little while to write down Makhachev by decision. And listen, I think you bring up good points because, listen, he's had 6 fights in the UFC, has Makhachev, and Arman, please give me his last name again, DJ Tony.
As I have chips in my mouth, Sakharyan.
Really? We don't pronounce the T. Okay, I got that. All right. Look, he's a younger fighter, but Makhachev, I believe, has the experience in the UFC, and it's a different story, right, Marco? When you get to the UFC, and it's your first time against a big name in the UFC in Makhachev, and I do believe, as I said, 6 fights in the UFC, that he is a big name in the UFC. I recognize his name. I recognize his fight prowess, and I lean towards what DJ Tony is saying, that he's going to be able to be the more dominant fighter in this particular fight because Arman is going to be a little shell-shocked. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to take Makhachev. I'm going to actually take him earlier. I think that I don't think this goes 3. I'm going to take this in the first round for Makhachev by TKO. All right, Marco, let's throw to you real quickly on this one in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 149. What you got, brother?
It's going to be a clean sweep for Makhachev because I didn't know we were on a Ghost Adventure freaking show with shadow people on it. I couldn't even find a Wikipedia page for this other guy, man. I'm going with the non-commodity, the guy that has been proven on the UFC, you know. He got the Samba experience and all that, you know, all that jazz. I want to pick Makhachev on the second round via TKO, via ground and pound. And until I know how to pronounce this other kid's name, I won't even worry about it. I don't know who he is. And
who the fuck is that guy?
Until he becomes somebody. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, so TKO, you said... I'm sorry, TKO in third?
Second round.
Second. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Did I give a round? Because I didn't write one down.
Did you say decision?
No, Tony said that. Okay. So I'm going to take the first.
You said second round,
I
Proteus.
Thought so.
And Marco
did as well.
Second
round as well. Yep, okay. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tony, for clearing that up. All right, guys, I don't know if you guys had thought about this, but we'll go ahead and throw – oh, wait, let me give you the odds real quickly because I didn't give you guys the odds. Makhachev is a not a huge favorite. He's at a minus 300, and Armand is at a plus 250. So and falling apparently on five dimes. So I think it kind of echoes our sentiments on this one right now. You know, Makhachev being the big favorite on this one. So, you know, maybe they want to give Makhachev a boost, you know, having this card in his home country. You know, he's been six fights deep in the UFC. You gotta boost this guy up. All right, guys. I mean, let's go ahead and throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night. And like Marco said, there are a few shadow figures on this particular fight card, but I mean there are some glimpses here and there. Sorry?
Shadow people.
Yeah, shadow people, exactly. But there are some you know, kind of glimpses of, you know, good fights on this particular card. I'm going to go to the Marcin Tybura fight against Shamil Av. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot. There's a lot of letters in that name. But I think I'm going to pick this because I like Marcin Tybura, and I like to see what goes on with his career. And I'm going to take Tybura, and I'm going to take him by second-round submission. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. All right, Marco, let's go to you. Let's throw to your spotlight fight of the night. What you got?
I got the sister of the bullet, Antonina Shevchenko, versus the Happy Warrior, Roxanne Modafferi, man. And I love Roxanne Modafferi, the Happy Warrior. She's so, like, she's a breath of fresh air, but she's going to get smoked by Antonina Shevchenko. And she's too tough for her own good sometimes. Antonina is super good on the feet. I mean, even though Modafferi has been able to showed out that, and she's become a decent striker, and she's very good on the ground. Shevchenko is a younger, better athlete, you know, multi-time, multi-champion. I'm going to pick up Shevchenko, and just because Roxanne is so tough, she's going to lose a 30-27 decision. So give me Shevchenko by unanimous decision.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we have to go ahead and give a shout out to Modafferi, and of course, got to travel all the way over to Russia for this one. But that's not a big deal for her because she lived in Japan for a while. So shouts out to her. And, of course, I think perhaps, Marco, you might have stolen DJ Tony's spotlight fight of the night. But let's go ahead and throw to you, DJ Tony. What you got?
Okay.
My spotlight fight. Oh, there goes that spotlight fight. Never mind. That's gone. Good Lord. All right. My spotlight fight. I always had this in the background, you guys. I was just playing with you guys. No? All right. My spotlight fight of the night will be Christoph Yatko. To the middleweight division we go, and he will fight Alan Adamnovsky. I don't know jack about Alan Adamnovsky, so I'm taking Christoph Yatko with a second-round TKO. Christoph Yatko.
All right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like I said at the top, there's a lot of questionable fights on people we don't know about in this particular fight card, but that's okay. As Lord Dana likes to say, these cards aren't for us. Just saying. All right, so let's recap real quickly before we go ahead and get into the rewind. Let's go ahead and get into this. DJ Tony, you and I had a tie on UFC 236. Of course, I did correctly.
You son of a bitch.
I know. I did correctly prognosticate both winners of these particular fights in the main and the co-main event, but your spotlight fight of the night came through for you, Botella. Did go ahead and get that win, not necessarily in the fashion that you said, but that gives us 2-2. So let's go ahead and get
into this. I will
say
this, Proteus, if you will allow me
this.
Sorry, we need to do corrections. I listened. I literally had a moment of lapse here when I picked that fight. I incorrectly thought it was Lauren Murphy and not Lauren the lovely Mueller. So just to correct our errors, have to play this. Sorry.
No,
gotta
I agree.
Do it.
Very well done.
God.
I agree.
Sick, sick man.
No, I agree. I thought
Excuse
it was strange
me,
that I thought it was strange that we didn't cue the music last week, but that's okay. So let's go ahead and get into this, Marco. Let's do a little bit of Amp Radio Rewind.
Thank you, dummies.
All right, DJ Tony, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Marco. All right, so let's get into the weekend. Whoa, I almost choked on my own spit there. That was weird. Let's go ahead and get into the weekend that was UFC 236. And, of course, we're coming out of that weekend with, you know, a lot of stories, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Not only did we have a great main event, but we also had a great co-main event. And people are saying that, you know, it may have been the greatest fight they ever seen in the co-main event. Wow, co-main event. Marco, let's go ahead and throw to you, and let's get your thoughts on the main event, because this one went all five rounds. And, of course, my pick of Dustin Diamond at the end of the – or in the fourth by TKO – would have come true had they stopped this fight in the fourth due to the cut. But unfortunately, that did not happen, and they went five rounds. But I did pick the Diamond. Now, I want to preface this here because we did break this fight down last week, and I did say that the boxing skills of Dustin Poirier would come into effect. So what were your thoughts on this main event, Marco, and what did you think? Because some people were thinking that with the decision was contested. What are your thoughts?
So, to make clear, we're just talking about the main event right now. I'm not going to toss the comment. But, first of all, we're going to talk just about the main event on this one, not the comment. That's what
yes.
I said. I'm to
just
make sure
the main event. Yes, please.
Okay. What an epic fight this was, you know. Max Holloway, most force on the planet, and Dustin Poirier impressed the hell out of me, man. Max was making me look good there on the third round, but now he took so much damage the first two that, look, everybody said Max needed to move to 155, and I said, slow your roll, because he still got the speed and the volume, but he didn't get the pop. Because every time he touched Dustin, he hurt him. But every time Dustin hit him, he freaking moved him and hurt him. It was like the difference was like palpable. And he really looked as big as Dustin, dude. There's not much I can say about Dustin Poirier won that fight fair and square. Now, 49-46, on my book, it was more like 48-47, but that is just semantics because you can make an argument for a 49-46. The third round was all Max Holloway, and The other run I gave him, I think was the fourth. But all the other three rounds were all Dustin Poirier, like by a landslide. I'm super happy for Dustin Poirier. Hopefully, they're going to give him that Khabib fight. He'll be, because he earned it. And Max, man, like I said, he needs to bulk up to be at 155. At least he needs to gain those 10 extra pounds of muscle.
Exactly.
To actually be, he's the greatest featherweight ever, but he's just a really, really good 155er. But he's going to move up to 145. He's going to face the likes of Volkanovski, Mohamed Sharipov, or even Frankie Edgar. And I tell you, good luck trying knocking out Max Holloway, because if Dustin Poirier, with those freaking atomic bombs he throw at Max Holloway, couldn't knock him out, I don't think this other 45ers can freaking even sniff a knockout with Holloway. He's got to just take care of a featherweight. Maybe in two years or 3 years, when he gets closer to 30, and when he bulk up and get that extra 10 pounds, we can see him again at 155. But even on a loss, Holloway is still a legend, dude, because he put out an effort that was epic. And Dustin Poirier, look at the list, man. Anthony Pettis, Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, and now Max Holloway, and he beat all of them. I cannot wait for the freaking fight with Khabib, man. I think he got something for Khabib there, because the guy got the cardio, he got the power, he got the striking skill, and if he can keep it on the feet for a little bit, it'll make it interesting. Bravo, Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, I think I echo your sentiments, but let's throw to DJ Tony here, because, you know, DJ Tony and I went back and forth a little bit, you know, Sunday afternoon. And I know what DJ Tony's thoughts are on in the co-main event, and maybe what your thoughts are as well on the co-main event, DJ Marco. So let's throw to you, DJ Tony. What did you think about this performance by Max Holloway? What did you think about this performance by Dustin Poirier? And, I mean, Nurmi kind of threw out there on Twitter that he saw this fight as a draw. Did you see it the same way?
I didn't. No, and you know what? My apologies to Dustin Poirier, because I do think Dustin Poirier, and again, I said I like both of these fighters. I just don't think that the Dustin Poirier is a top-tier fighter, at least not champ level. And I was wrong, because I don't think I was wrong twofold. Number one, Marco said it correctly. I can't believe the power difference between 145 and 155. Mind you, Max Holloway is not a power striker by any chance. He wins via volume. We've all seen that. But he's always like, come on. And I think he's a little too tough for his own good. Sometimes I think what we saw is a really, really tough Max Holloway going up to a division, like Marco said, that he just was not prepared for the power difference. Not that Dustin Poirier, I know Dustin Poirier likes to say that he hits like Conor McGregor, but we saw that fight, what happens when Dustin Poirier gets hit. We've seen Dustin Poirier get knocked out several times. Max Holloway was not the right guy for that job, guys. I think it was twofold. Number one, the power. Number two, I have to question how serious Max Holloway took this fight, you guys. I'm serious, because he was already champ. Did he have really that much of desire? Because I thought it was evident, like Marco said, when he got hit early by Dustin Poirier, he was hurt, guys. He was doing the chicken dance, and, man, I didn't think he was going to survive. Shout out to him for surviving. But, listen, I think part of it was Max Holloway not taking this fight too seriously. Another thing was Dustin Poirier just said a little too much power in the lightweight division for Max.
Allow me to disagree, because I think the fact that he was knocked out and that he lost all five rounds, he did take this fight very seriously. Because any other human being would have been knocked the fuck out, even in the first or the second round. So not only because of his thoughts, but because of his preparation, he was able to withstand the mauling. I mean, that knee to the head alone would have knocked out any other human being. So I just disagree with you on that point, but, you know, it is your opinion.
No, but and you're right, Marco. There's a difference between having heart and taking the fight seriously, meaning I don't think he took the fight seriously to the beginning of the fight. Once he got struck, there's no doubt about it. Max Holloway's all heart, champion, warrior, et cetera. But I just didn't think he took the fight up to through the training process up until the bell rung, seriously, until he got hurt. That's my opinion.
Okay. I'm glad that you both weighed in there. I'm going to go ahead and give my opinion on what you guys both said. I think that Max totally was taking this fight seriously. I think he was willing to be one of those other champs that are on the board that would have brought him up to, you know, the level of Conor McGregor. He could say exactly. He could say exactly the same thing as Conor McGregor, that he was a double champ in exactly the same weight classes that Conor McGregor was. I mean, whether or not Conor McGregor is still a star in the UFC is to be seen. I think maybe he has star power outside of the UFC, but I digress. Let's get back to this fight, because this is what is important. And DJ Tony and I, as I mentioned, we had talked about this via text message. And I'm going to be honest with you guys 100% that I did watch this fight first. I did not watch the whole event in its order. As I have mentioned to you guys before, if you're a new listener, I will explain it to you again. I do not watch the fight cards as they happen live. I do have them on my DVR, and I watch them later, because I do not want to be swayed by any information that comes in at all. I avoid Twitter, I avoid Instagram, and I watch the fights on my own so that I can have my own opinion. And I think that Dustin Poirier put on a very, very good fight here. Max Holloway was a contender that really was game because he did hurt Dustin Poirier, and he did hurt him often. When Max was able to get off and actually, you know, perform his game and bring the fight into where he wanted it, he was able to hurt Dustin, and he did hurt him often. And I think the third round, as you guys both said, probably was for Max Holloway, probably a little bit of the fourth as well, until, of course, that knee came and that cut was opened on Max Holloway's head. Look, I think if Max Holloway was really focusing on 155 pounds, if the threat of having to cut the weight down to 145 pounds was no longer there for Max Poirier, Max Holloway, then he would be a better fighter at 155. We've seen what Dustin has done as he moved up to 155, and I think the same problem exists for Holloway, for Max, as well, because I think that as he gets older, Marco, as you mentioned, he's going to have to move up. He's going to have to move up and wait. Yes, there are fights, Marco, as you mentioned, for him at 155 pounds or 45 pounds, which he does need to address. And yeah, he's probably the best 145 pound champion that we've ever seen, but he does get heavy. It's amazing to me that he even makes 45s. As I said last week, it was a litmus test. It definitely was a litmus test for Max Holloway. And even he could acknowledge that he got his ass kicked. You know what I mean? He got up, he went up an extra 10 pounds, and the guy that was there really had a lot more power for him. And I think he wasn't expecting that. He's expecting people who have the power of 145 pounders. Great fight, in my opinion, by Dustin Poirier. He was boxing really well. The foot movement was excellent. That jab was working excellently as Max was moving in. I thought Poirier could have used the leg kicks a bit more that he started using in the first round. I think that Max really got Dustin Poirier into a scrap, and that's, you know, where we've said that Dustin Poirier has his problems. So I digress, and I think great win for Dustin Poirier. Good to see him have a belt that he could bring home. And it was really exciting to see his wife deal with not only a sweaty Dustin Poirier, but a sweaty and bloody Max Holloway that tried to come over and give her a hug as well. Looking great in that dress, though. Thanks very much, Mrs. Poirier. I digress. Let's move right along to the co-main event. DJ Tony, do you want to cue some music, or should I just go right into it?
Go right into it.
All right. So let's go ahead and throw to what people say is the best fight of all time. Israel Adesanya versus Gastelum. DJ Tony, let's throw to you, because you said that this was a more impressive fight to you when we were talking back and forth on the text message. And again, I think I echo the sentiments of Dana White. If you were watching this fight card, DJ Tony, in its entirety, that this probably would have tired you out, because this was a great fight. What you got going on here, DJ Tony?
You know what? I don't disagree with anyone that I've spoken with or heard, frankly. I think that was the best fight that I've ever seen, best championship fight that I've ever seen, for sure. I just think it was packed. I think both gentlemen were hurt. The difference between this fight and the Hobby Lawler / Horry McDonald fight is the fact that that fight ended, meaning to the point where poor Horry couldn't go on any longer with his broken nose at that point. This fight kept going, and it wasn't until the very last minute where I thought, gosh, maybe we will have a very last-second stoppage. Not the case. I'm curious to see what Marco says, because I think you and I, Proteus, saw two different fights altogether, but I think this is the best championship fight I've seen of recent, because we always throw out the grand terms of ever, I don't know about ever, but certainly the best fight I've seen in at least 3 to 4 years, no doubt about it.
All right, so Marco, let's throw to you because we definitely did see some high-level MMA. Of course, we know the Gaslam is a very talented fighter, and Israel Adesanya, I mean, Pam wasn't sold on him last week, but he showed in the fifth round that he had more heart than Kelvin Gastelum. What do you got going on here in the co-main event of UFC 236 and the MMA Amp Radio Rewind?
So, best fight ever? No. Best fight of the year? Yeah. Candidate for fight of the year? Yeah. Epic fight, don't get me wrong. But let's not forget Condit Lawler. Let's not forget Gustafson Jones. There is all the fights up there that have been epic. I mean, Henderson versus Shogun one. Come on, man. There's other fights that have been even more epic than this one. But for what is worth, on the modern era, on recent times, yeah, this fight was epic. Super impressed with both fighters, Kelvin Gastelum. You know, because a lot of people, even us, agree that he got nothing for Adesanya on his feet. And we were wrong. The hand speed of Gastelum was impressive. And as the shorter guy with the shorter reach, he was able to touch Adesanya, won the first round, won the fourth round. Little freaking short Gastelum got his freaking leg 6'4" tall and kicked Adesanya on the head. Holy shit. I've never seen Gastelum throw a high kick. And we saw that. You couldn't make the argument that if he would have been a little bit, weirder and recognized when he got Adesanya hurt, he could have finished Adesanya on the fourth round, but that is a story for another day. Adesanya showed us that the guy got really good freaking takedown defense. You know, he does got some ground game, you know, that attempted triangle and guillotine on the fifth. And that the guy know who to take it, seize the moment. The fifth round was so super impressive. I mean, he was hurt the round before. The fight was 2-2, and everything hanging on the table, and he went and took it. Kudos to Adesanya. A great fight. I mean, you need two to dance, you know, or two to tango. That's a very
two to tango.
And they put a fight for the ages. I don't know what it takes for Gastelum. He's still a contender at middleweight. I mean, he proved by leaps and bounds that he belongs. Forget about 170. At 185 is where he belongs, you know. And Adesanya and Whitaker is going to be epic in Australia. They're already talking about the stadium. They're looking for the venue. They're going to probably put 80,000 people on the stadium, and that would be awesome. Just the freaking visual would be freaking great. But I am worried about Adesanya, man, because if Gastelum was able to touch him, I'm touching hard. Robert Whittaker is a much better striker than Gastelum is. So I will not be putting all my chips on Adesanya just yet. He got a lot to prove, and we know Whittaker is top of sell too. I mean, he went twice against freaking Joel, the Cuban muscle crisis Romero. So slow your roll with Adesanya. If he beats Whittaker, and I'm not saying that this wasn't impressive. This was. But Whittaker is a completely different animal. If he beats Whittaker, then we're up for the running. He came in at 183. I'm a little bit concerned about that. It's a little too light. So all the people that are talking about him versus John Jones right now, John Jones could freaking Big Brother the shit out of him. If you come at 183, you're not getting higher than 200 pounds when you're fully hydrated. John Jones walks around at 230. I mean, remember what he did to Lyoto Machida on their fight. He pinned him against the cage and choked him and dropped him. And Lyoto Machida walks around about the same that freaking homeboy Adesanya walks around right now. So it's not your role with that shit. Give it a couple of years. Let the guy feel it in his body. And maybe then we talk about that shit. But now Adesanya is the intermediate champion. Congratulations to him. Quit burping every single time somebody gives you a freaking interview. The guy burps so much. I know it. I don't know if anybody can notice that shit, but he does it all the time. Two African champions with Kamaru Usman. Go to Nigeria, you know, do the tour. We were bringing gold back to Africa. Cool, man. I like the kid. Well, he's not a kid. He's 29. He's number 30. But I like the guy. He is a superstar in the making. But I'm telling you, Robert Whittaker is a high order. And that fight in Australia, in a stadium is going to be freaking epic. So let's see what we got with this guy.
Yeah, I think 100%. I'm going to echo what you said. I think Adesanya in the post-fight press conference probably left.
One more thing. Before I forget, Robert Whittaker, Bobby Knuckles.
I was going to get you to do a sound bite, so perfect.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate that. I think Israel Adesanya in the post-fight press conference, you know, he's kind of showing his experience in that genre. He did, I mean, it was an okay performance. It was an okay showing in the post-fight press conference. He kind of gave us some thought about what the question was, and I thought he handled them very well, and that's probably media training that he's getting from the UFC. So I appreciate that. Let's get to the fight, though, guys. I think, you know, Kelvin, as you guys mentioned, did threaten Israel. He was able to get inside that karate stance. And I think this karate stance, guys, is kind of on its end. I think it's on the outs in the UFC. I think that people are figuring it out. If you want to stay on the outside and you want to do that karate stance and leave your hands down low, Kelvin Gastelum is going to touch your chin. No matter if it's going to be with his hands or if it's going to be a surprise kick. And that was beautiful, 100%. This fight was a great fight. And as I mentioned, I did not watch this fight first. I watched it second. So perhaps my view of this fight is a little bit different from anyone who watched it in this fight card in its order. I thought that Kelvin Gastelum really showed out. I think that the leg kicks of Israel Adesanya, I think they were inside into Kelvin Gastelum's right leg, really paid dividends for Israel because it took away that power. It took away that power not only in the stand-up game, but it also took the power out of the wrestling game. And we saw Israel really put on a show. Honestly, he did in the fifth round, showed that he was willing to be the champion. He was willing to push it as far as he could. And yeah, he had Kelvin in some bad spots. And I think Kelvin was really tired after the fourth round. I think what I was thinking between the fourth and the fifth round, when I watched the fight, I was like, wow, those leg kicks are really starting to add up. And Kelvin had a great round in the fourth, but I wonder what this sitting down on the stool is doing to his legs because Israel was beating them up for four rounds. And we really saw that Kelvin was really diminished, in my opinion, between the fourth round where he did really well and the fifth round where he did not, and he got dominated. He was just kind of hanging on and staying out of bad positions that Israel is putting him into. And Marco, I think I agree with you. And Pam, I don't know if I'm completely sold on Israel still. I think if he, when we see him against Bobby Knuckles, as you said earlier on, I think he's going to have a true test because thank you very much. Let's remember that Bobby Knuckles has gone against Yoel Romero, the Cuban muscle crisis, and won twice. Yes, maybe the second one was a little contentious, but I mean, I would love to see Israel go against the Cuban muscle crisis and see what he does against them. I think it would be a completely different end game on that one. Okay, guys, let's move on because we do need to move on. And I just wanted to say quickly, real quick, my spotlight fight of the night, I did take OSP, you know me, but Khalil Roundtree, we'll get into this. Anyways, DJ Tony, let's throw to you because we got the up-down report coming here, and then I think I just gave away mine. But go ahead, DJ Tony, and let's throw to you. What do you got going on in the up-down report?
This is a tough one. I didn't think we were going to do the up-down report, but the thing here is I don't think anyone really goes down except for Eric Anders. So for me, up report, got to give it up to Dustin Poirier. So up on Dustin Poirier, down on Eric Anders, man. I know he's a tough football player, former football player, ya boy, but he's got three straight losses, guys, to Thiago Santos via TKO, Elias Theodoro, split decision. I thought Elias took that. And, of course, just completely mauled his poor leg by Khalil Roundtree, who looked really good. So my up report, up, Dustin Poirier, down, Eric Anders.
All right, Marco, let's throw to you, because DJ Tony is not running this up-down report. I'll do it. Marco, what do you got? What's your up-down report, brother?
So my up report is go to Nikita Krylov, avenging the lost world speed of 5 years ago. And,
yep.
You know, looking good on the process, man. Everybody undersells Nikita Krylov, but he keeps proving us wrong that the guy actually has evolved into a quality light heavyweight, you know. He got good striking, and now he's developing a ground game. So Nikita Krylov, my down report goes to Curtis Melander. The dude let me down after winning the first round handily, let himself get be taken down for 2 rounds, and then once he was on the ground, nothing. He didn't try to get up, he didn't try to switch, he didn't try to sweep. Curtis Melander got a gaping hole that everybody's going to exploit. He completely disappointed me. You need to go away for a year and just wrestle, and do jiu-jitsu, Curtis, because otherwise everybody knows how to beat you now. So my down reports go to Curtis Melander, and that's all I have to say about that, dude.
Yeah, I think what DJ Tony said at the top of the card, I don't think anybody goes up or down. I think Dustin Poirier probably gets a boost from this, had been said by Dana White. He definitely deserves a shot at the title. We need to get some of these interim titles actually meaning something. I think that with his comments, Lord Dana with his comments, you know, saying that unless Dustin gets injured, the fight is his. But nobody believes the words that are coming out of his mouth. So put that right in there, DJ Tony. Drop that one in.
No one believes the words coming out of your mouth.
Touching on quickly, Krylov, of course, that's my up report. I think that Krylov, as I said, when he fought last, I thought that he would have the UFC jitters. It comes in against Ovin St. Preux and beats him up in the first. And perhaps Ovin St. Preux's corner should have stopped that particular fight. So, that's my up report there. My down report, I don't know, guys. I don't really have a down report, I guess. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. To be honest with you guys, I'm kind of disappointed in Melander as well. I'm really excited that Brandon Davis got the win, but I mean, I don't know if we can really hold it against Melander. Well, let's just let him develop, but that's my down report. Melander as well, Marco, goes down. Okay, guys, let's kind of bring this show to an end, and DJ Tony, throw to you, because I'm sure you have a Twitter follow of the week, or maybe you have a guilty pleasure. What you got going on here, brother?
With all due respect to the champ, Dustin Poirier, and we mean this respectfully, you got to follow Mrs. Jolie Poirier. Follow her at the IG, Mrs. Jolie Poirier. In terms of a guilty pleasure, Marco called this early, you guys. Man, my Warriors aren't looking very good. So my guilty pleasure, I have none. We'll root for the Golden State Warriors. Hopefully, quick recovery for the great Boogie Cousins. But in all seriousness, you just gave me a reminder. Listen, shout out to Angela Magana. I know no one really liked the character that she portrayed on the UFC, but she's in a coma right now. She is a mother of three guys in Puerto Rico, so we want to make sure that she's at least healthy for the children. So shout out to Angela Magana. I hope she makes a quick recovery.
Boo-hoo and well on the Warriors. Oh, we love Boogie Cousins. Yeah, you see that Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, freaking Draymond Green, and it's Stephen Curry. Boo-hoo and well. Oh, Andre Iguodala, too. Boo-hoo and well, Warriors.
Thank you, dummies.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that the Warriors are having a bit of trouble, but I wanted to really focus on the fact that we have a former USC fighter that's in a coma right now, and we really need to push for wishing her well. And hopefully, because there's some stuff coming out on Twitter that's kind of, you know, pulling at the heartstrings. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and after that, I'm gonna throw to I'm not going to give you a Proteus's shower pick. I'm going to give you something that came up today on YouTube, Coheed and Cambria live at the Pace Studios in New York City. It's actually Claudio Sanchez and his wife, Chandra Sanchez. They're doing a little acoustic.
That's cool.
At the Pace Studios. Yeah, they've done this before, but you know, I'm just giving that a quick shout out because, of course, you know, Coheed and Cambria going on tour in the summer, and it's good. It's cool to see Claudio and his wife do what they do. All right, Marco, let's go ahead and get you to close this show because I've been rambling a lot this show. So go ahead, Marco, and get us out of here. What you got?
What I got is, first of all, for all those knuckle dragging the address, I couldn't figure it out how to get the pay-per-view this time. You know, I can read about A-grade level. I figured it out. So next time the UFC is going to have it directly on the app so you don't have to freaking fumble around. But my guilty pleasure this week, next week, and until six weeks from now is going to be Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was epic last Sunday. It's going to be epic this weekend. Winter is here. We got all sorts of freaking awesome battles on the way. Love the freaking first episode. So that's what I'm going to talk about for the next 5 remaining weeks. Follow Producer and Produce. Follow Tony, I am Tony. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. You need you this week, Pam, but we'll see you next. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us, Knucklehead. You know, we need the reviews. Give us a good rating. Give us good criticism. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio. No much else to say, man. Great weekend of fights. Okay, weekend of fights this weekend. If you're not interested on the UFC, you still got Crapo versus Samir Khan if you like boxing. We better leave you guys, because you got the trick. Enjoy the fights.
And just like that, DJ Tony.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.